Queridos hermanos y hermanas, dear friends, the parable begins, we just heard it a moment ago, the parable begins with the master distributing talents, actually a piece of money, a large piece of money, of significant value, and only subsequently did it become what we understand as an ability, a talent. But anyway, he distributed talents to different servants. And it makes a point of saying that each person was treated according to his ability, apparently based on a judgment of some sort or other. So I found myself, among all kinds of other questions in the course of the past week, first of all asking myself, who knows what any of us really is capable of? How do you know what someone's capable of? It's a great mystery. I thought the story that circulated for years about a teacher in New York school system who received a list of IQs of her students in the beginning of the year, in September, and it was marked confidential. And she was astonished by the ability of these people, these kids. So, well, she really challenged them and worked hard and had great results. And only in December did she discover those were locker numbers. They weren't IQs. How do you know what people are capable of in advance? It's a question. The mother, once in a while, gets a report, news report, the mother who in a moment of terrible danger lifts up the edge of a car for a child to get pulled out, extricated from a very dangerous situation. You know, lifts up part of a car. Who would ever guess that that could happen? But in a situation, you know, we're capable of doing some very unexpected things. When I was in high school down in St. Catharines in Racine, the principal, just a very creative educator, Monsignor Witkowiak, he decided that the honor roll should be different. It shouldn't just recognize people who had achieved high grades, because he said there's all kinds of different values in this community. So he devised a system by which the grade point average was one factor, but then IQ was counted in on it, and performance, and so the end result was you had any number of C students on the honor roll because they were really working very hard according to their potential. And it kind of turned things upside down and recognized that someone who could be natively gifted and never had to do a lick of work shouldn't be the only people who are recognized. It's just a wonderful thing. How do you know what people are capable of? That's the first question. The owner gave out, distributed these talents according to their ability, but who knows? And there are always surprises in life. At least I walk through life, and I'm always surprised, positively and then sometimes with disappointment. Another question. Well, by what criteria do we judge people's ability? How did the master decide in this? Was it in determining who got the five and who got the two and who got the one? I mean, this is a parable about life. So how do you measure success? Is it just the amount of money in the bank or the portfolio? Is that what makes success? I think it was last week I made reference to that curious survey that took place two months ago, in which nasty people make more money. If the measurement is only on money, that isn't enough. Or is success in our society measured by how many friends we have on Facebook? Every once in a while, I receive on email an invitation to join somebody's Facebook or, you know, whatever. I never heard of the person. You wonder about what that's all about. What about the number of people we've known and loved and influenced? How about that as a measurement, a criterion for success? How about the number of years that people have devoted to care for an ailing family member? The Vatican II Award just Tuesday night, right here from this pulpit and in this congregation, wonderful event, recognized someone who for 34 years has been devoted to promoting programs for families with developmentally challenged members. And how do you measure success then? You can't see that exactly, but that's a wonderful thing. When I'd go to parish visitations, I'd celebrate the 100th anniversary of parish. How do you know if it's really been a successful parish? Is it because it's got a lot number of people? Is it because the resources, the savings, is that the mark? I often say the real measure of the success of a parish is what happens because the people went out into the community, into the neighborhood, into school boards, into all kinds of community things in order to change the quality of life in that particular area. That determines success of a parish. The others, maybe, but maybe not. So, now another question. What criteria do we use in judging the success of other people around us, or what criteria do we expect God will use in judging us in terms of success, whatever that means? I often wish people success however God defines the term, because we don't know, and we might be surprised. And then, who knows why that third servant decided to bury the talent? Who knows why? Quoted before, Ignatius says, always give the best interpretation to any people's motives. Don't give the worst, give the best. So maybe the individual was lazy. Maybe that's true. Maybe the individual was paralyzed by some fear of this master. In the Catholic Herald this past week, there's a fascinating article about this parable and the suggestion that maybe that servant just simply refused to be part of a system, a life style values that measured everything by the amount of money people make. Maybe that person just said, I'm not going to be part of that. I mean, it's a surprising take on the gospel parable. I'm not so sure it's correct, but it made me stop and think in ways that I hadn't for a long time, because the question was asked, who's a winner and who's a loser? And maybe the ones we think initially are losers because of our social criteria, aren't really losers in God's eyes at all. And then I hadn't thought about this till I came in here, but here we are surrounded around this image of Christ executed on a cross. And we're forced to say, maybe the ones that society calls losers aren't at all. All I know is that God gives opportunities to each one of us, different opportunities. And we trust as people of faith that somehow God knows us, and every one of us is absolutely unique, but God knows us and what we need and gives us the opportunities that could enable us, each of us, to make our own contribution to the world in which we live. And God expects us to respond as best we can. And that life is just one series of opportunities, a kairos, if you will, a moment to which we are asked to make a response, because all kinds of converging factors, opportunity, need, our own ability, our response, life is one series of kairoi after another, like a sunburst. Like a wonderful 4th of July fireworks display, but it's not enough just to look at it and say, ooh or ah, we're supposed to respond. We're supposed to do something about it. So it seems to me that this parable is primarily about the need to take a risk. The need to take a risk, to live lives that are filled with response to risks, and not be like the little kid, and we've all met them, and maybe we've been there ourselves, who says, I don't know about food, I don't know what it is, I never had it, I don't like it. Well, if we live life that way, we're not going to live. And they tell us that people are willing to take reasonable risks, emotionally and every which way. They're healthier and they live longer by statistics. But life is filled with risks. Take a look at a new recipe you never made before. You think, well, I'll try that. Not sure how it's going to turn out. Even you buy a car, it's a risk. You depend upon the name of the maker and its reputation, but that's a risk. Enrolling in a course or going off to college, it's a risk. RCIA. It's fascinating what's going on this particular year in East Side here in Milwaukee. There's any number of very young, well-educated, extremely intelligent people saying, I want to join the Catholic Church, in spite of all the troubles we have. I want to join the Catholic Church because the intellectual tradition is fascinating and compelling and inviting. And so they take a risk. Here we are. Faith is a risk. Faith itself is a risk. To invest our lives, put our lives on the line for something we kind of see and don't see. Because there are indications that this is part of a new creation. At the same time, can we prove everything with scientific, mathematical precision? No, you can't. Is there a God? I think so. I believe so. Can I absolutely prove it scientifically, mathematically? There are all kinds of wonderful proofs. But in the last analysis, the God we recognize and worship is a God of the first cause, and we're surrounded by second causes. And there are a lot of people who think the second causes are the only things that really explain anything. In crossword puzzles, every once in a while, the clue is verifiable. And then the word that they're looking for is true. But I shake my head because not everything true is verifiable in that kind of scientific, mathematical sense. Faith is a risk. Putting our lives on the line for something we kind of see but don't quite see. Love is a risk. Caring for someone else so much that we're willing to hand our whole lives over to them. For them. Sometimes things change. God doesn't want us to be in harmful situations, so it's a new kairos, it's a new situation, all the factors that require a second look at things. But love is a risk. Luke 12 has quotes Jesus saying, "You people, you're willing to make a decision on the weather, on the sky at night and the sky in the morning, but you're not willing to make a decision on the kingdom of God." St. Camillus, we have San Camillo over in Wauwatosa. St. Camillus de Lellis was a compulsive, inveterate gambler. He was always in trouble because he was gambling. I mean gambling with cards or dice or whatever. Horse races, I don't know. But he decided to gamble on God and became a saint in the process. So taking a risk is really what faith is all about. When was the last time you took a risk on doing the right thing? When's the last time I took a risk to do the right thing? How do you know? Is it just? Is it honest? Is it respectful? Does it care for others, not just me? Is it part of a new creation? There are criteria, but any of us who goes through life without ever taking a risk might receive the words of that third servant. Might. Gospel of the Lord.